politeness on the part of...
Enough, said Yama, turning his back to him.
Tak realized then that he might have touched upon a sore spot. In an attempt to find another subject for conversation, he crossed to the window, leapt onto its wide sill, and stared upward.
There is a break in the cloud cover, to the west, he said.
Yama approached, followed the direction of his gaze, frowned, and nodded.
Aye, he said. Stay where you are and advise me.
He moved to a bank of controls. Overhead, the Lotus halted in its turning, then faced the patch of bare sky.
Very good, he said. We're getting something.
His hand moved across a separate control panel, throwing a series of switches and adjusting two dials. Below them, in the cavernous cellars of the monastery, the signal was received and other preparations were begun. The host was made ready.
The clouds are coming together again, cried Tak.
No matter now, said the other. We've hooked our fish. Out of Nirvana and into the Lotus, he comes.
There was more thunder, and the rain came down with a sound like hail upon the Lotus. Snakes of blue lightning coiled, hissing about the mountaintops. Yama sealed a final circuit.
How do you think he will take to wearing the flesh again? Asked Tak.
Go peel bananas with your feet.
Tak chose to consider this a dismissal, and departed the chamber, leaving Yama to close down the machinery. He made his way along a corridor and down a wide flight of stairs. He reached the landing, and as he stood there, he heard the sound of voices and the shuffling of sandals coming in his direction from out a side hall. Without hesitating, he climbed the wall. Using a series of carved panthers and an opposing row of elephants as handholds, mounting a rafter, he drew back into a well of shadow and waited, unmoving. Two dark-robed monks entered through the archway.
So why can she not clear the sky for them? Said the first.
The second, an older, more heavily built man, shrugged.
I am no sage that I can answer such questions. That she is anxious is obvious, or she should never have granted them this sanctuary, nor Yama this usage. But who can mark the limits of night?
Or the moods of a woman, said the first. I have heard that even the priests did not know of her coming.
That may be. Whatever the case, it would seem a good omen.
So it would seem.
They passed through another archway, and Tak listened to the sounds of their going, until there was only silence. Still, he did not leave his perch. The she referred to by the monks could only be the goddess Ratri herself, worshipped by the order that had given sanctuary to the followers of great-souled Sam, the Enlightened One. Now Ratri, too, was to be numbered among those fallen from the Celestial City and wearing the skin of a mortal. She had every reason to be bitter over the whole affair, and Tak realized the chance she was taking in granting sanctuary, let alone being physically present during this undertaking. It could jeopardize any possibility of her future reinstatement, if word of it got out and reached the proper ears. Tak recalled her as the dark-haired beauty with silver eyes, passing in her moon chariot of ebony and chromium, drawn by stallions black and white, tended by her guard, also black and white, passing up the avenue of heaven, rivaling even Sarasvati in her glory. His heart leapt within his hairy breast. He had to see her again. One night, long ago, in happier times and better form, he had danced with her, on a balcony under the stars. It had been for only a few moments, but he remembered. And it is a difficult thing to be an ape, and to have such memories. He climbed down from the rafter. There was a tower, a high tower rising from the northeast corner of the monastery. Within that tower was a chamber. It was said to contain the indwelling presence of the goddess. It was cleaned daily, the linens changed, fresh incense burnt, and a votive offering laid just within the door. That door was normally kept locked. There were, of course, windows.
The question as to whether a man could have entered by means of any of these windows must remain academic. Tack proved that an ape could. Mounting the monastery roof, he proceeded to scale the tower, moving from brick to slippery brick, from projection to irregularity, the heavens growling dog-like above him, until finally he clung to the wall just below the outer sill. A steady rain fell upon him. He heard a bird singing within. He saw the edge of a wet, blue scarf hanging over the sill. He caught hold of the ledge and raised himself until he could peer inside. Her back was to him. She wore a dark blue sari, and she was seated on a small bench at the opposite end of the room. He clambered onto the sill and cleared his throat. She turned quickly. She wore a veil, so that her features were indistinguishable. She regarded him through it, then rose and crossed the chamber. He was dismayed. Her figure, once lithe, was wide about the waist. Her walk, once the swaying of boughs, was a waddle. Her complexion was too dark. Even through the veil, the lines of her nose and jaw were too pronounced. He bowed his head. "And so you have drawn near to us, who at your coming have come home," he sang, "as birds to their nest upon the tree." She stood, still as her statue in the main hall below. "Guard us from the she-wolf and the wolf, and guard us from the thief, O knight, and so be good for us to pass." She reached out slowly and laid her hand upon his head. "You have my blessing, little one," she said, after a time. "Unfortunately, that is all I can give. I cannot offer protection or render beauty, who lack these luxuries myself. What is your name?"
"Tack,"
he told her. She touched her brow. "I once knew a Tack," she said, "in a bygone day, a distant place."
"I am that Tack, madam."
She seated herself upon the sill. After a time, he realized that she was weeping within her veil.
"Don't cry, goddess. Tack is here. Remember Tack of the archives, of the bright spear? He stands yet ready to do thy bidding."
"Tack," she said. "Oh, Tack, you too? I did not know, I never heard."
"Another turning of the wheel, madam, and who knows? Things may yet be better than even once they were."
Her shoulders shook. He reached out